Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 5 today. Romans chapter 5. Kind of mentioned in prayer there that it's neat that the Lord has brought us to Romans chapter 5 for this special day for moms, because it actually talks about the benefits of faith. We've spent the first four chapters of the book of Romans talking about how it is that the just shall live by faith. And we look to the Lord every day in faith. And we believe the Lord Jesus. And he accounts that to our account in heaven as righteousness. We've seen all of these things in the Word so far in Romans. Now we come to chapter 5, and in the first five verses, there's actually three benefits to this faith that we have in Christ that God wants us to know about. The Apostle Paul is led by the Lord now to take us on from establishing us in the faith, to show us and tell us what faith in Christ Jesus does in our everyday living. And so let's take a look then at verse 1 of chapter 5 to get this first benefit, this first wonderful blessing, as we bless our moms today and grandmas with gifts and so forth. We get these gifts from God here in chapter 5 of Romans. So it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. This is the first one, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God comes through that faith in Christ. Now, as we look at this little clause here, being justified by faith, we see that that little clause, translated in different ways in different translation, is in the original, the Greek construction there of that clause underscores that justification is a one-time legal declaration with continuing results. That's what that clause means. And so we have continuing results, continuing blessings from this faith that's in Christ, and underscoring the justification. Justified, never sinned, and it was done in one move. Christ died once and for all, the Bible says, once and for all. And so all of our sins, for each one that has faith in Christ, are cleansed away, past, present, and future, through that work on the cross. And we bless and thank God for that. Now, this first great result then that we're studying in verse 1 is peace with God, meaning that the sinner's war with God is ended forever. Hallelujah. When we come to the Lord, there's no more war with God. God's on your side. There's been peace made with the Lord. And he takes our side with those that help us. These are scriptures from the Old Testament. It's just a marvelous thing, this peace with God. Now, Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 10, explains this in a rich, full way. And so let's take a look over there at Romans chapter 8 and verses 6 through 10. Now, in verse 6, it says to be carnally minded is death, or to be worldly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so we have our first blessing, peace with God. That peace comes with being spiritually minded towards the Lord with that faith. Because the carnal mind, verse 7, or the worldly mind, is enmity against God. Now that's a $15 King James word that actually means at war with God. That those that don't know the Lord are actually at war with them in their minds. To have that worldly mindset is war, having war against the Lord. We can see that on the news. We can see it in society. There's a war going on, and it's a spiritual war. There's folks that are dead set against the things of God and the Lord himself. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And so there's a war going on. And so the carnal mind is enmity against God. Another translation for that is hostile. They're hostile towards God. For it is not subject to God. That mind is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot, please God, no way, no how. They can climb a great mountain to get the blue rose. They can sit on fire and stand on hot coals and all the things that people do in the name of religion. But this does not, any of it, please God. There's only one way to please God, Hebrews 11:6, without faith. It's impossible to please God. Impossible. And so as we do have faith, we finally find that rest in having peace with God, just through simple trust and faith in His name and in the power of what He did on the cross. And so this is what's being taught here clearly. Now, in verse 9 is a very comforting verse, and I want to speak to you about this. You are not in the flesh. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If you're a Christian, if you've opened your heart to Jesus, if you've said with even some of our three-year-olds sometimes, Jesus, forgive my sin, come into my heart. The Spirit of the living God comes to dwell inside you. We're the temple, the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. And the definition here of not being in the flesh is having the Spirit of God dwell in you. So if you've asked Christ in through faith, you're never ever in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. Now, we get this term, and I'm using King James terms now. This is said in different ways and different translations. But let me use the King James exegesis here, which means just to look at the verse as it says. Now, if we're not in the flesh, what happens to the backslider? Well, the backslider walks after the flesh. They're not in the flesh, but they're walking after the flesh, and they're going to hear a voice behind them saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Turn around, come back to God. And so there are those that will say, hey, flesh, wait up, let me catch up with you, and we'll walk after the flesh. We don't want to do that as Christians. We don't want to be found there. And so we seek to walk in the Spirit and walk after the Spirit. Listen to the voice that would be saying behind me, this is the way, walk ye in it. We don't want to be like Keith Green's old song. He says, so you want to go back to Egypt, do you? No, I don't want to go back to Egypt. No, I want to go on to the promised land with the blessings and the great big fruit and the grapes so big. Oh, yes, the land flowing with milk and honey. That's where I want to be, and that's where you want to be. So we don't want to walk after the flesh. Flesh is gone. You're not in the flesh if the Spirit of God dwells in you. No, you're not. And don't let the devil tell you that you are. You're a different person. All the old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new to those that know the Lord. Yes, that is the truth of it. It goes on to explain this. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And then verse 10, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. That is, my sin has been taken from me and put upon his back on that cross. The body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I believe the Lord. He's accounted it to my account in heaven as righteousness. And he looks at me through rose-colored glasses and sees me washed in the blood of Jesus, righteous before him. What an exchange, huh? There was a brother in church last night that had a Christian shirt on. It was a cross. And written across the cross was, what a deal. And I thought, boy, does that ever fit the sermon? What a deal that I would give Jesus my sin and he would give me his righteousness. Such a deal is that. And I thought, what a neat shirt, you know. So I went up after the service and shook that brother's hand. I said, bro, that is an awesome shirt. And it is ever the truth as we see it here in the Word. That hostility that we had with God, or the enmity against God, the war that we had going on against the Lord is over forever, because the Spirit of Christ now dwells in me. We might have our squabbles, and I might say, Lord, I'm mad at you today. And the Lord will probably say in a very loving way, get over it. I'm always right. And he's right about that, isn't he? Oh, yeah. So we don't want to fight with him. But listen to that voice that would be behind us. And so here we are, where the war is over. God is my friend. So let's turn to some friend scriptures. Let's go to Exodus 33:11, the Old Testament, second book in the Bible. Exodus 33:11. Now here in Exodus 33:11, we're told very clearly here, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And there, as Joshua was watching this beautiful thing going on with Moses, and the fact that after Moses got through talking with the Lord as a friend, Moses' face started to glow. We're told this very clearly in the next chapter. The face of Moses shone. And it was so bright and so shiny that the people said, put a veil over your face, cover your face. And he actually had to put a veil over his face when he talked to the people. And then he took the veil off when he went back in to talk to the Lord. And Joshua's seeing all this. And the Bible says that when Moses turned again to go to the camp of the people, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And I can just picture in Joshua's mind saying, I'm staying here. I want to get some of this. You know, Moses is going back to the camp, and I'm going to stay right here before the Lord, you know. And it's something that all of us long for. And when I first read about this scripture, you know, talking about how Moses is a really close friend of God, God spoke to him face to face. Oh, that was a longing that happened in my heart. I want to be your friend, Lord. I want to be close to you. I love the prayer of Abraham Lincoln and also the prayer of Donald Rumsfeld as he prayed Abraham Lincoln's prayer when we first entered the war with Iraq. It says, Lord, we don't want you to be on our side. We want to be on your side. And that's a great prayer to pray, isn't it? And so that's a longing for every Christian, for every person that wants to walk after the Lord, is to be a friend like Moses was with the Lord. Now, as it says here, Moses saw God face to face, and that is in a communicative way. Not actually seeing the full-on glory of God completely, because he would have died if he actually experienced that. These bodies aren't made to be able to take that. So we remember that when Moses said, oh God, show me your glory, God tucked him in a rock, in actually a crack in a rock, put his hand over him, passed on by, and then took his hand off and let Moses see his vapor trail. And that was enough to blow Moses away, you know. But when we see God face to face, actually in a very literal way, it will be that day when we get our new bodies. And so Moses indeed is looking at the Lord face to face today, and one day we will too. Now we look through a glass darkly, but then face to face, and we shall know even as we are known. And when we see him, we will be like him, because we'll see him as he is. And that will be a glorious day when the glory of God breaks through completely, as the promise is given, whom he justified, them he also glorified in that day. But here we see that Moses had this blessing of being a friend with God and being able to speak and communicate face to face, in a sense. Now this is wonderful and beautiful, but you know, this carries right on to our relationship with Jesus Christ. And let's turn now to John 15:13 about what he has to say about friendship. John 15:13. Jesus says this in verse 13 of John 15, Gospel of John chapter 15 and verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so Jesus here is calling those he died for on the cross his friends. And so through faith, the war is over, God is my friend. Because Jesus tells me here, through the faith that we have in his laying down his life for us on the cross, he's calling us his friends. He laid down his life for his friends. Now it goes on to say, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Well, what did he command? Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus said in another place, the first and great command is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And like unto this, second, is to love your neighbor as yourself. In these two, all the law and the prophets are fulfilled. And so it's easy to hear and to know what the command is. I just fall in love with Jesus Christ. I just fall in love with the Lord. I just have a great faith in Him that He loves me. We love Him because He first loved us. We accept what He first did for us on that cross. Greater love has no man than He laid down His life for His friends. And we become His friend then by believing that, receiving that, accepting His love, and let that love overflow to all those around us. It's as simple as that. And it's a beautiful, wonderful simplicity that God brings us. And he goes on to say in verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. God is going to speak to us as friends. And so this is a tremendous truth, a tremendous blessing. God gives us peace. Faith in Christ brings us peace with God. We are His friend, just like Moses. Now, let's go on now back to Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Romans 2, 5, 2. And we get the next blessing, which just adds to this. It builds. These blessings are building that come through faith. Now, verse 2 says this. Romans 5, 2. By whom also we have access by faith. We have access, or we have the privilege of being in the presence of and talking to openly the Lord by faith into this grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, wherein you stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God, that one day that glorious glory of God will be shared with us, sprung upon us. We'll see Him face to face, and it is going to be a wonderful day. Now, into this grace, which is the focal point of this whole book, and I was really blessed. If maybe this today, instead of going out that door, might go out this door. Right by this door, there's a beautiful, I don't know if it's crochet or needlework, but it's a grace. And it's an acrostic, God's riches at Christ's expense. And it just blessed me so much to walk by that last night. And I didn't know that it was actually there, to be honest with you. It's so neat the way you, as a congregation, are owning this church and putting all your little wonderful touches to this church. And it's just neat, these different banners that have been made by a loving sister in the Lord. And I see the deal that the girls took pictures under from yesterday in the mother-daughter's tea. They all took pictures together, and it was neat. And somebody made curtains for the fellowship hall, and putting different things up like that, and just a beautiful thing. And then when I came in last night into the prayer room, I was blown away with this beautiful leather sectional couch. And I got to be honest with you, I just, the first thing that came to my mind is, well, I'll take that one home and bring in mine, you know. And of course, you know, right away the Lord's going, what are you saying? Oh, yeah, I got you, Lord. But it's a beautiful new leather couch, you know. And God is just wonderful to furnish His house and to touch the you precious ones to do what you can do and have done and so forth. And what a blessing. Anyway, this grace wherein we stand, we have access by faith into this grace, and we rejoice in the hope. Now let's talk about hope first here. The word hope, this Greek word for hope, contains no uncertainty, zero uncertainty. In the English, hope is it holds some uncertainty. I hope this happens, and maybe it will, and maybe it won't. But this Greek word actually speaks of something that is certain, but not yet realized. And so we're hoping for the glory of God, and it is a certain thing that will be coming and is coming for us who have faith in Him. Praise the name of the Lord for that. Now, we want to speak about this word access now, because this word access, and it's translated also in some of the modern translations, just like the King James, access. It's two more times in the New Testament. So three times totally in the whole New Testament we have this word used. And the next two scriptures I want to share with you take us a step further in this idea that we are now friends with God, that He takes our part with those that help us. And so let's go first to Ephesians 2:18, and actually start at verse 16. So let's go to Ephesians 2:16. Ephesians 2:16. Now we're going to start in verse 16 instead of 18, where the word access is the second time in the New Testament, because this is just kind of a review and saying the same thing we've been studying in Romans 8 and seeing about the war that we had with God that's over. Verse 16. Let's wait and make one more statement before we read verse 16. Chapter 2 of Ephesians is about the wall of partition being broken down between Jew and Gentile. There's no difference between Jew or Greek, the Jewish person or the non-Jewish person, that both can be saved through faith in Christ. And so this is what this verse 16 is talking about. It says that He, the Lord, might reconcile both the Jew and the non-Jew, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain, and here's this big $15 King James word again, enmity, or the war, or the hostility that was there. And He came and preached peace, and there's that word peace, that now we have the peace of God, to you which were far off, the Gentile, and to them which were near, those that had the oracles of God, the Jewish people. For through Him we both have access, and there's that word, access, by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So now we see from verse 19, we're not just friends with the Lord, but best friends. And we're not even just best friends, we belong in His house. We're part of the family of God. We sang that song today. So glad that I'm part of the family of God. You might compare it to like Queen Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth has lots of friends, I'm sure, in England, and lots of those that look up to her as a great queen. But she's only got one household where Prince Charles lives, and all of her grandboys, and she is quite a bit more close to them, I'm sure, than the rest of the world, because they live in her household. They have access to her in a greater way than anyone else. And this is what God would say to you and I. You have tremendous close access to Him because you are in the household of God. You're not just His friend. You're not just His best friend. You live in His house, and you can say, Dad, and He's there. And so I love the Ephesians scripture here for access, because it takes it a step further for us to bring us into this great hope that we have in Christ and what faith does by giving us access. We know that as the Shekinah glory of God, it was upon the mercy seat, which represents Christ in the Holy of Holies. That when Jesus died, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place, where the high priest could only go once a year, was ripped from the top to the bottom when Jesus died on that cross. We have total access, complete availability to our Father who art in heaven. And when Jesus taught us to pray, what's the first thing He said? Say this, our Father who art in heaven. And so we are in the household of God. We are citizens of heaven. and we are no longer strangers and foreigners. We're very, very close to the Lord. Now, the last and final time this word is used just one chapter over in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. And this gives us the demeanor that we can have as we approach the Lord and have access to Him. And this is all through faith, as we read back in Romans. Now, the last four words of verse 11 are Christ Jesus our Lord. And then verse 12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith, the faith of Him. It's the faith that He has gifted us with. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, the faith of Him. Now, different translations, of course, will put this different ways, but those words that are used there in verse 12 can be assimilated together. The next best thing to knowing the Greek is having a lot of different translations, so you can put all those words together. But the King James have boldness. I like that word boldness, because we're told in Hebrews 11 or 4, actually, about how we're to come boldly to the throne of grace. The Lord wants us to march up to the throne of grace. I don't know how long it's been since I shared my testimony about that, but it's blessed me so much on this score that I needed to go to the throne of God to receive forgiveness. And I was about ready to teach a Bible study, and I knew that I needed to get things completely right with God, have a clean slate before Him. And so I remember that scripture, to march boldly to the throne of grace. And as I began to march up to that throne of grace, the justice and the beauty and the power of God was overwhelming for me, and I had to turn my head because of the brightness. And this all happening in my mind's eye. I just felt so unworthy. But as I turned my head, Jesus Christ was standing next to me. And this wasn't some big woo-woo vision. It was just in my mind's eye. But Jesus was standing there and looking at me with love. And He put His arm around me, and I put my arm around Him. And I was real comfortable with Jesus, you know. And Jesus turned His head slowly and looked full on into the face of the Father on the throne. And there was no kind of hesitation there, because He's so pure and He's so sinless. And deserved all that God would give him, because he got A's on every test. And I'm kind of like a C-minus guy over here, you know, a few F's, you know. And so I'm with Jesus. He's looking at the Father. He says, and I hear the voice from the Father say, yes, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. What can I do for you? He says, well, Father, Mark has had some problems today, and he's sinned. And I went to the cross and died for those sins. And can you forgive him? Yes, Son. Yes, I can, because of what you've done. And Jesus was just looking at me in my mind's eye again with perfect love. And man, I just got so lifted through all that. And so we can come boldly to the throne of grace because of Jesus Christ, because we just need to walk up there with Him. You just walk up there with Him. And we come boldly, with confidence that Dad wants to hear from you and Dad wants to help you. Think about your own children that live in your own household. Hopefully and prayerfully, you've created such an atmosphere of love in that household that they can feel free to tell you about anything, and to share their hearts with you. And God is the perfect Dad, and that's what He wants. He wants us just to come and share our hearts. Just pour out your heart before God is what it says in the Old Testament. So I just pour out my heart before Him, and I have access to Him as a loving Father with boldness and confidence that He's going to hear because of what He did on the cross. And it is a wonderful thing. Had a really neat testimony shared at the men's prayer meeting this week. One of the brothers just felt real strong about what God had showed him about prayer, because we're at a prayer meeting. And he kind of had a little sermon for us. And it was so edifying. I just had to share it with you. And in fact, brother, could you come and share it? Because you did such a great job. Is this too much on for you? Okay, yeah. And I know the fear of public speaking is the greatest fear of all, so. But, bro, you did such a good job the other night. Just share with the brothers.
Okay. Well, hello, I'm Chuck. Basically, it was a story. I was very involved in the Boy Scouts. And we went camping in the desert, and it was about 25 miles in on four-wheel drive roads. And so we went in there, and we had to set up whole camp for the Boy Scouts and everything. And Saturday, my truck wouldn't start. And I have a background of, I'm really big into cars. I did hot rod, things like that, so I know a lot about cars. And it wouldn't start, so I worked on it Saturday trying to get it going. I couldn't do it. It wouldn't start. We talked about having AAA come out and towing it. Well, they don't tow in the middle of the desert. You have to somehow get it to the road, and then they'll tow you. So what I did is I kept working on it. I finally gave up. I said, I can't do it anymore. So I went to one of my friends, a leader, or just a friend, and what he did, he knew cars just as well as I did. We really get, so I go, he can help me. He'll be able to fix it. So then before I went over, hey, can you help me with my car? I got to get it going. We have to be able to get out of here on Sunday. He goes, yes, I'll help you. And he says, let's bow our heads and pray. And that's what we did. We prayed. And I go, is that it? He goes, that's all it needs to be done, is to pray. And so we prayed about it. And then he went, Chuck, you've probably done everything you can do. It's in the Lord's hands now. So I just went off to the side, I sat down, and I just prayed again, and I just waited on the Lord. I'm always so anxious to do it myself and fix things myself, but I just waited on the Lord, and the Lord says, Chuck, you have a spare coil in your engine that you can use to make it run. And I go, Lord, a car only has one coil, and it's one in the engine. If I had a coil, it'd be great, but there's no AutoZone or Pep Boys around here to pick one up. So he goes, no, Chuck, you've had one there for years. It's just been sitting there not being used. I go, you're right, Lord, I do. So I went there, and sure enough, 5 years ago, I put one in there trying to get better gas mileage and more power out of my truck. And I took it out, didn't use it, but it was still just hanging there. So 15 minutes later, I plugged in the new coil, and I was up and running. So... So I just realized how important prayer is, to pray and wait on the Lord. And bless my friend, because every time I ask him for help, he stops me in my tracks and says, let's pray. Because that's the first thing we should do. I usually do it the last thing. But we need to do it the first thing in everything we do. So I just thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Chuck, for sharing. Thank you.
Access. My brother had access. Amen. Beautiful. Thanks, Chuck, for sharing that. It sure brings out the point. Oh, great. Okay, well, let's go on now to the last point, back to Romans and chapter 5, and starting at verse 3. We see the blessing of peace with God. We see the blessing of access into this grace wherein we stand. And it is just such a full, wonderful access. And then in verses 3 through 5, this might be the hardest one to swallow, and yet it is a blessing from God, even though we don't realize it so many times until later. And I think as we walk with the Lord for many years and get experienced with the Lord, then we understand a little better. And that walk is really described from verses 3 to 5 concerning tribulation. That tribulation is actually something God allows for our good, as we know from Romans 8, that all things do work together for good for those who love Him and are the called according to His purpose. So let's read these scriptures. And not only so, but we glory. We glory, as the Apostle Paul says, that he worships the Lord. He glories in distresses, in necessities, in persecutions. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience or perseverance or endurance. And patience, experience or proven character, as the Greek word is, just simply means proof. And experience works hope, and that is the hope that is certain. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad or poured into our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. And so my simple observation here, first of all, is this. Tribulation is the beginning, and more love is the end. We sing the song, more love, more power, more of you in my life. Lord, I do not want to come, and I'm speaking about myself now, I do not want to come to the pulpit with the wrong spirit. A spirit of pride, a spirit of I'm the minister, you take care of me, when minister actually means servant. the wrong spirit. I want to come with the right spirit, the spirit of love and humility. But how do I get that? It's through the circumstances of life that God brings. It's through the tribulations. I want more love. I don't want pride to hang around my neck like a chain. Remember, the Apostle Paul said that a thorn in the flesh was given to me that I might not be exalted above measure. That has to do with pride. And many other reasons that God works with us through tribulations. And so we glory in the tribulations because of the result. For then the power of Christ will rest upon us, and we can be helpful and a blessing and represent Jesus to other people in the world. And Jesus can see, the other people can see Jesus in us. And so this is what we want so badly. And moms want to be good moms to their kids. They want to represent the Lord to their kids so their kids can grow up to have the abundant life in Christ and not be put down in the things that moms that don't understand do or are prideful or whatever. So God help us. And God does help us. This is a blessing. And so we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations works patience. Now, the word tribulations means this. It's actually a word used for pressure. So when you're feeling pressure, you're probably in some kind of tribulation or trial, like that of a press squeezing the fluid from olives or grapes. And I love this word squeezing in this definition because I picture God squeezing me with the bear hug. He's loving me. Tribulations ending up in his love being poured out upon me. And I like that translation, poured out, because I think of Jesus' blood, which we're going to actually celebrate what he did there by pouring out his blood for us on the cross. And so, tribulations. Now, the word patience then, the King James word patience, that tribulation works patience. Perseverance is the NIV translation, and it referring actually to endurance. The ability to remain under tremendous weight and pressure without succumbing. Jesus was our extreme example, wasn't he? In the Garden of Gethsemane, he resisted against sin, even unto blood. He sweat great drops of blood with the pressure that was on him to succumb to the enemy, to give up and not go to the cross. But he fought that battle. He did not succumb. He accepted the pressure. He had the endurance. And he said, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So he is our example. And as we are exercised with tribulations, we grow in this perseverance, just like a weightlifter in a physical way grows his muscles. First, there's a little bit to lift, and then a little more, and you lift a little more, and the muscles get bigger and bigger. So we learn endurance. We learn perseverance. We learn patience through those tribulations. And then the experience then is proven character, as we have in one translation. But as I mentioned before, the Greek word simply means proof. God is proving to us in our experiences with endurance how much he loves us and that he sees us through. That's why that most suicides are among teenagers. They get to their first big test, and they don't know yet that God can see them through, so they take their lives. But as we walk with the Lord, and we face hairy stuff, and through the experience of facing it and seeing God deliver us from it, we're a little bit more okay next time. Because we see his love I'd kind of like to sum that up with a sentence. This is a sentence that I wrote down. God proving his love and causing more certain hope in his love through the experience of endurance. That is what happens. You ever see a big old oak tree? Remember a big old oak tree? We used to play hide and seek with the kids in the neighborhood, and my dad would take us to this park with this great big giant oak tree. It's real gnarly. It has looked like joints on it. You know, a big old branch coming out, and there's a big old joint, and it goes up this way, and there's more, and we used to love to climb on that and hide behind. It's huge and wonderful. And you ask what those gnarly things are about in that oak's life. It's the storms. As the storms come upon a tree, in the life of a tree, the tree is kinked and gnarled and goes through things, but wow, what a big old giant strong oak tree it makes. It's got deep roots and rooted and grounded in love, the love of God, and just the wonderfulness of being strong and big. And that's what God wants for us, and so his love does that through the stresses of life, through proving our character, through proving himself again and again. I had this one testimony that I'd like to share with you about a child, and actually using this as a physical thing to talk about a spiritual thing of what's given to us in Ephesians 4:1, and that is that we're to walk in love. We need more love. We need more power. We need more of the Lord. And that walking does come out and come through through those tribulation times. This little child was born so that he could not walk. And what they had to do is put devices on his feet with screws in them. And the parents went through agony every time they had to take this child to the hospital because they would tighten the screws. And the child would go into hysteria and be crying and so forth, and it could kill the mom and the dad. But they knew this was really important for them, because without this, the child wouldn't walk. And so a few months would go by, and the child would get used to the new tightness with how the screws were put in a little further. But you have to come back and have it done again a little further. And each time was agony. Each time it was hard. But at the end of it, after months and months of therapy, they took these things off, and that boy walked away. And he walks today, and he thanks his mother, and he thanks his father for their love, to suffer the agony of going through that and allowing him to go through that so that he could walk. And that's the way we ought to see it. And that's the way God wants us to see it, as a gift. Therefore, we glory in tribulations. We do, because tribulations works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope makes not ashamed. We're not ashamed as we go through these trials, because we know God is with us, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who is given to us. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Part of his gift. Man, when we get this down, this idea in our minds and hearts, you got life whipped. You do. You've got life by the tail if you can grab this one. Because it's very simple. We face a lot of tribulations. But if we know that we know that we know that these things are good and these things are working fine things that we'll thank God for later, I would hate to have to go through life with pride hanging like a chain around my neck. God help me. God help you. And God's at work getting rid of that. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'd like to say one more thing before we take communion, and that is this, as we want to come full circle back to Moses, that it's okay to ask why. When you're in a tribulation, because we're a friend of God, yea, a best friend, yea, somebody in his household, like a son or a daughter that wants to come to Dad and ask, Dad, why are we doing this? And the Father, he's our friend. I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. For a servant doesn't know what his Lord is doing. But I'm his friend. And he laid down his life for me as his friend. Lord, God actually answered Moses. So let's take a look at that. We'll end with this scripture today, Exodus chapter 5, verse 22. Moses was called by God to go to Pharaoh and ask the release of the people of Israel. And Pharaoh refused. In fact, Pharaoh got mad. And Pharaoh said, I'm going to double your work. You were making bricks. We were providing the straw for you to make the bricks to build the treasure cities. Now you've got to get your own straw. So you have double the work. People really got mad at Moses for this. Why did you ever bother Pharaoh? Now we've got twice the work. Moses went back to the Lord, verse 22 of chapter 5 of Exodus, and Moses returned unto the Lord, and he said, Lord, why have you so evil entreated this people? Why is it that you have sent me? Did you ever ask God that question? Lord, what am I doing here? Why? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, neither has he delivered your people at all. So the Lord could have slapped him upside the head. Said, you know, you're just my servant. I'm not telling you anything. Go in the corner and sit there and put a dunce hat on. He could have said that, but he didn't. The Lord replied. Chapter 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, now shall you see what I will do to Pharaoh. Whoa, man, now you're going to see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And he goes on to talk about his name is Jehovah, Jehovah God. He's in charge. And he's got it all set up and all figured out. And the covenant is true and good. And he's going to lead them to the land of Canaan, where milk and honey does flow, the promised land that God had promised them. And so the Lord spoke to Moses and explained himself. Why? Because they're friends. And may I say, and I do believe, that God does not get upset with you when you ask why. If you're in the right spirit, you're not waving your fist at him or something, you know. But no, you're just saying, Lord, what's going on here? Could you reveal it to me? And I believe the Lord will reveal it to you. Sometimes it's a matter of timing. He might not reveal it to you right away, or something you can't really bear or hear yet. So he needs to wait as a good dad. But yes, the Lord will answer you. The Lord is your friend. The servant knows not what his Lord is doing. But Jesus wants to speak to you and love you that way. It was neat. After my sermon last night, when I finished with this and I was walking out of the sanctuary, and this one sister stopped me and said, you know what? Even Jesus asked why on the cross. Yes, he did. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And as we read Psalm 22, we see God's answer. And Jesus was rejoicing with the Father's answer, that many generations would be saved because of this. And of course, he had also the answer in the garden. And so God, being a good, loyal, wonderful, best friend, same household, wants to talk to us as our good, good Father. Well, let's pray together and then we'll take communion. Excuse me. So, Father, thank you for these promises. Thank you for this great beginning in chapter 5 of Romans. Lord, thank you for taking us a step further in understanding that we are saved through grace by faith, not of ourselves. And Lord, because of that faith, we have peace with you. We have access to you at any time. And Lord, access as a child, as a son and a daughter before your throne. And that all of the things that happen to us in this life are for our very, very best. Jesus, you're too good. You're way good. You're lovely good. You're awesome good. And Father, we just appreciate you this morning. And so, Father, bless these moms. Bless them and bless them and bless them again. Lord, let each one just be edified and built up. And all of us together. Father, now bless communion, we pray. Father, that you, Lord, would help us to appreciate what you did on the cross again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. At this time, we'll have the men come forward, and we're going to take communion together. two, bro?
One.
Just one, okay. The way we take communion here is that we'll pass the bread out, and when we all have the bread, we'll take it together. And of course, this bread represents the body of Christ. If you're not a Christian today, you really shouldn't take communion, because you see, this is representing the Lord's body. It's a very serious thing that we're doing here, just for the Christian to do that. If you are not a Christian, you can become a Christian right now, right now. I want to say a prayer with you. The congregation knows this prayer well. It's called the Sinner's Prayer. And it's really coming to Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said, if anyone comes to me, there's no way I will cast him out. No way. He's never, ever going to reject you. He wants to take your sin and give you his righteousness, as we talked about earlier. And he does that through faith in him. We examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. And so we must have that faith in him. And you can express that faith by saying this prayer called the Sinner's Prayer with us, asking God to forgive you of your sin, turning it over to him, asking him to forgive you and come into your life. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. This is the Last Supper we're celebrating, and him with me. And so let's go ahead, and you can repeat this prayer. And if you mean it in your heart to the Lord, you will be being saved before God Almighty, because you're believing in the resurrecting power, the blood of Jesus that was given for you. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And please forgive me, Lord. And come into me. I believe in you. I believe you rose from the dead, and that you are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. So thank you, Lord, for coming in and saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brothers, pass the microphone. In the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And we do this in remembrance of him, in Jesus' name.
For the cup. Father God, we just come before you, Lord, empty ourselves out to you, Lord. And God, for those who have confessed you today for the first time, we just ask you to bless them as they take this communion, Lord. Lift up their spirits and lift all of our spirits here, Lord. Just cover us with your blood and make us white as snow, Lord. And we thank you for this opportunity to celebrate this communion with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I always think of the verse when we take the cup, that this is the cup of blessing. And I'm thinking particularly of the verse today because we've been talking about the blessings of God in Romans 5. And of course, those blessings upon each mother here and all of us together. This is the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus Christ, which was given to cleanse us from all sin and to allow us to have faith, which produces all the things we've been studying today. And so we take the cup in faith now in the name of Jesus. Why don't we stand together? I'd like to say to anyone here that said that sinner's prayer for the first time, be sure to tell somebody. For Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven and his holy angels. And if you would like a Bible, we have Bibles to give you. And you can come to the prayer room and receive prayer for anything that you would desire to pray about. We're here for you. We want to be your friend. And we thank God that God's our friend. Amen. So may the Lord bless you and just continue to bless you in growing in that friendship with the Lord, knowing that you always have access to Him through faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.